welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is May 23rd, 2014, and with me today I have Brian Chaffin. Brian, how are you?
I am great.
That's awesome. Not just awesome, but fracking awesome.
It is fracking awesome.
And also Dave Hamilton, and I always love hearing your voice, Dave.
I love hearing my voice, too. Thanks for having me on the show.
You know, I don't blame you for loving to hear your voice. It's just, yeah, it's just a magical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Dreamy.
Yeah, dreamy. Topics. Yes. Okay. How about if we dive in with the whole thing with Apple and Beats, and now we have the Worldwide Developer Conference keynote coming up, and people are talking about how that's all tying together.
When the Beats rumor first hit, I was quick to jump up and say, "Oh my goodness, I hope this isn't true, and this deal doesn't make any sense to me. The valuation doesn't make any sense to me. Beats headphones are subpar, and you know, Beats Music, the streaming service, doesn't have that many subscribers." And
what you're trying to say, Brian, is your first thought when you heard about this was Beats Me.
Oh, that physically hurt.
And that made this entire podcast worthwhile.
Yeah, we might just have to go out right there. No, yes, Beats Me was my initial reaction, and please let it not be true. And then, you know, that quickly morphed into the reality that every other acquisition that Tim Cook has overseen has made perfect sense. You know, it's either been solid or brilliant in hindsight. So if there's this Beats acquisition happening, there's probably a reason for it. And just because I don't understand where the value is doesn't mean that the value doesn't exist. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing more. And I think, you know, we've continued to have rumors. One of the big rumors was that one of the supposed leaks was that what Apple really wanted was CEO Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, the other co-founder of the company. That has gained enough steam for me that I'm starting to believe it. And then we had a couple of reports out of TechCrunch yesterday, based on, again, supposedly on leaks, that offered enough color that I was down. I think I get it now. And one report is talking about how Apple is concerned about its role as the pumping a huge amount of money into the music industry through iTunes, and that if iTunes were to essentially switch over to any kind of a streaming service overnight, that it would be too disruptive to the music industry, and that music industry effectively could be crippled. And so that one of the things that Apple gets with Beats Music is a streaming service that Apple can operate on the side, let it come up as iTunes sales and downloads go down.
You know,
so you have some stability.
The part that I found really fascinating out of all this was that if this is true, then Apple is looking at the music industry not as a platform or a market that it can exploit, but a platform or a market where it has a duty to preserve it.
Well, go ahead, Dave.
No, that's very interesting. And that's all I was going to say, which is why I didn't really want you to interrupt me. But go ahead.
Go back to Steve Jobs telling us that he felt like he needed to save the music industry because the music industry couldn't save itself. Right? It's an incredibly cocky statement.
Yeah, but it turns out he wasn't wrong.
He was not wrong. And the record label, the record industry has largely hated Apple for that ever since.
Yeah, but Iovine and Dre are kind of they're part of the old guard of the music industry, and they are out there working to save it.
They are, and they were also Apple, iTunes and iPod cheerleaders, right? Mm-hmm. So now Here's the other report. This one is even more. Oh my God, I hadn't thought of that. consider the idea of acquiring Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine not as pulling in a rapper that doesn't make any sense and a powerful record label executive who may make sense. Don't think of it in those terms. Think of it instead in terms of a string of other hires. We have Paul Deneuve from Yves Saint Laurent. We have Nike's Ben Schaefer. We have Leica engineer Ari Partanen. And we have Angela Ahrens of Burberry. And all of these people are culturally aware and have management expertise. They're not known for their technology acumen. And when you consider Dre and Mr. Iovine in that light as part of that string.
The new guard.
The acquihire makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And that was when these two reports again coming out of TechCrunch have made me feel like I see enough about the value in this deal for it to make sense, whatever the final price tag actually ends up being.
So now you make a good point. Sorry, Jeff.
No, go ahead.
You make a good point, right? Because they Apple has a history of reinventing themselves.
Yes.
And part of that history includes bringing in people that are the new, I don't want to say the new face of the company, but the new direction behind the company, right? And so this actually makes a lot of sense when you look at it that way.
Yeah, I close my piece with this. Doubters and those devoid of critical thinking skills continue to underestimate Tim Cook and Apple as a whole, but that doesn't seem to stop either entity from reinventing itself in front of our very eyes yet again.
There you go. And I think that sums it up really well right mm-hmm. there. Okay, so Brian, you wrote up another piece that I thought was really interesting, and it was about Apple leasing out another 290,000 square feet near Cupertino.
Yes, supposedly Apple has, this is from the San Jose Mercury News, Apple has signed a 7 to 10 year lease on a space called Sunnyvale Crossing. It's 7 building. It's 290,000 square feet. I think it can hold something like 1,400 people. We don't know who or what projects or, you know, exactly what Apple plans to do with this space. It's a lot further away from either Apple Campus 2.0 or One Infinite Loop than either of those two places are from each other.
How far away is it, just for those of us that don't live 10 minutes away from Apple's campus?
2 or 3 miles.
Oh, okay. All right. So okay. We're not talking a short little shuttle bus deals with this problem quite efficiently.
Yeah. Even if I am somewhat off of my estimates there, it's certainly not more than 4 miles.
Okay.
So all right. not a multi-hour commute.
It's not a multi-hour commute.
It's a 20-minute bike ride in nice weather.
Well, now say you say that. So maybe it is 5 miles. I don't think you can make that in 20 minutes.
Well, it depends on how good you are.
Yeah, you're just going to have to pedal faster, Brian.
It's a 7 or 8 minute drive.
Okay. All right. Okay. But anyway, that answers my question. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And part of what's interesting here is Apple has supposedly insisted on 2 to 5 year leases. Because, you know, that's Apple wants the terms that Apple wants. And most anybody that owns office space would be delighted to have Apple as a tenant.
Of course. Their checks don't bounce.
And so this lease supposedly being a 7 to 10 year affair, that's fascinating to me because it says that Apple intends to use it long after Apple's Campus 2.0 is built.
Yeah, and I thought that was very interesting. Buying up a bunch of, or leasing up a bunch of space right now, of course, Apple doesn't have enough room. But holding on to that space well after they can be moving people into the spaceship campus, that's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. It is interesting. It says that Tim Cook sees growth continuing.
Yes. And One other story I'd like to hit before we wrap up today is that I just realized we're totally doing the Brian Story Show today, and that's okay.
You do love me.
I do love you. You're big and you're cuddly. And
oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you wrote up another story, and this is about Boeing citing Apple as essentially a role model for them.
Yeah, they might not understand their role model, but yeah, it was CEO, what's his name, Jim McNerney, and the CEO was also there, and this was all based on a Bloomberg report. And Mr. McNerney was telling investors that Boeing is going to be more like Apple. They're going to stop doing moonshot projects where they're betting the company on new platforms that they then have to hope that the airline industry buys into. And instead, they're going to focus on doing iterative design improvements so that, you know, they're continually innovating on their existing platforms. And, you know, just like Apple, because Apple doesn't ever do moonshot projects, right?
No.
They don't ever bet the company on things like the iPhone or the iPod or iTunes or
iMac or, yeah.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I mean, the first moonshot product for Apple was the iMac. And not just because of the design, you know, making the thing happen, but because Apple used that to change the rules by which it competed in the computer industry. That was a moonshot. Betting the company on iPhone was a moonshot. I think that what we're going to see this year with Apple's wearable product that everyone is calling the iWatch is going to end up being obviously a moonshot. So Boeing Apple does moonshots and then does iterative designs.
You know, maybe, Brian, you're misinterpreting what they meant, because Boeing was directly involved in the literal moonshots. Maybe they mean they're not going to be in the space program anymore. Just like Apple.
just like Apple. Yeah, it could be. And so then the other aspect of this that I found fascinating is that here we have Boeing. We have Boeing as a conservative corporate America icon. And we have this conservative corporate American icon that used to be the company that anybody might look up to, in terms of if you were another corporation. And here they're holding up Apple to reassure their investors. And that's just
yeah. And that's all this is about, right? I mean,
yes.
What this is Boeing saying, we've kind of finished on the whole concept of making planes so radically different that everybody says, wow, that's amazing. And we really, for the last decade, we really haven't had any great new ideas. So we're just going to come out and tell you we haven't had any great new ideas, because we feel that sort of thing has run its course. But let me couch it in a way that's going to make you feel better. And we're going to say, we're like Apple.
Exactly.
That's it.
But it's fascinating that Apple would be that example. You know,
investors love Apple.
I know, but it's just such a symbol of how far Apple has come.
Oh, of course. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Of course. Yeah.
It is. I mean, you know, there was not. It wasn't that long ago. It was 15 years ago, 16 years ago, where you couldn't get VC funding for a software product. It may be right. 12 years ago, you couldn't get VC funding for a software product if it was for the Mac. And, right. You know, it's
that's different today.
It's different today.
It's very different today.
But, you know, Apple is one of those companies that really doesn't listen to Wall Street and for the most part doesn't do what Wall Street wants. And then Wall Street continues to, for the most part, love them with some, you know, little breakups here and there.
It's a classic abusive relationship.
It's a classic abusive relationship, right.
Yes.
But now Boeing is basically saying, we want that too, right? that's how I read this. We want you to just love us despite the fact that we're going to stop loving you. Right? I mean, that's what they're saying here. You know, don't you like what our neighbors have with with their abusive relationship, we can have that too, honey. That's kind of what this is, I think.
Oh my God. Fair enough. That's a horrifying yet amusing analogy, Dave.
I apologize for that. That's what I'm going to leave you with for the holiday weekend here, Brian.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
And I'm thinking we just can't top that. So we should just leave everyone with their holiday weekend thinking about that. I hope you're happy, Dave.
Yeah, I'm real happy with what's going to happen to my Twitter stream when people listen. But, you know, we'll go from there.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Baby steps. All right. Well, despite that interesting ending, thanks so much for being with me today, Dave.
Sure.
And Brian, thank you for writing stuff for us to talk about today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. You guys rock.